Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynam. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever wondered what Earth's atmosphere is? We have a special guest joining us today as we discover what Earth's atmosphere is and why God made it. This month, we are diving deep into Genesis 1 and discovering how God set the stage for life. Last week, we learned what light is and how light makes colors. And tomorrow, we are learning how God waters all the plants and creatures on Earth. But before we get to the water on the surface of the Earth, I wanted to bring on a guest to help us understand how God made the sky and the atmosphere around us. Listen to Genesis 1, verses 6 to 8. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters, to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. We might not think very much about the atmosphere, but in very special ways, God set the stage for life as he engineered Earth's atmosphere like a protective blanket. Before we bring on our guest, let's thank our sponsor who made this special episode possible, Masterbooks. Our guest today, Debbie Lawrence, she is an author who writes science books and curriculum for Masterbooks. I was so excited to get her book, Heaven and Earth, which unveils God's designs in earth science and astronomy for grades 3 to 8. Heaven and Earth has sparked wonderful, faith-building conversations in my home. Every page introduces us to ways God carefully crafted the universe so we can live well on Earth. Find answers to curious questions like these. Does air weigh anything? What are shooting stars? What are moon rocks? How does an animal become a fossil? And how are mountains made? All from a biblical worldview. One simple thing I love about Heaven and Earth is how it's laid out. Lessons are not overwhelming, but instead hold attention and deliver just the right amount of information in visually pleasing ways. Fun facts, reflection questions, and simple activities highlight each lesson so my kids stay engaged and interested. Order your copy of Heaven and Earth at the link in our show notes and explore all of Masterbooks' Christ-centered books and resources at masterbooks.com. All right, let's welcome on our special guest, Debbie Lawrence, the author of Heaven and Earth, exploring weather, water, the universe, and planet Earth by Masterbooks. Welcome, Debbie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Well, I have really been enjoying your book, Heaven and Earth, and I'm learning so many things that I did not know before. And this month on Nat Theo, we are discovering how God set the stage for life, really engineering everything just right in the universe so that creatures and we can live. And as I read your book, Heaven and Earth, I was amazed to learn how Earth's atmosphere, which is all around us, but we really can't see, is so detailed. So can you please explain to us what Earth's atmosphere is like?
Well, what the atmosphere is basically all the gases that surround our planet. So when we talk about the air, we're talking about the atmosphere. It's the oxygen and nitrogen and other gases that are around the Earth.
That's just fascinating to me because we can't really see it. And yet It's so important. When we did an ocean series on Nat Geo last year, we looked at the different zones or the different layers of the ocean. And of course, as you go deeper into the ocean, you don't like see a sign like you're now in this zone or you're now in this zone.
Exactly.
But I was surprised to learn that the atmosphere is like this too. We have these different zones. And so can you explain to us what are the five levels of the atmosphere and maybe something that happens in each of them?
The lowest part of the atmosphere is the gases that are closest to the Earth. So if you start from the surface of the Earth and start going out for about 5 miles up, we have what is called the troposphere. And that's where most of the stuff that affects us happens. That's where the air is that we breathe. That's where weather takes place. And that's, where the birds fly through that layer. And, small planes like little planes or helicopters fly through that air, that layer. But as you go out further, the air molecules start spreading out a little bit more. And then you come to the next layer is called the stratosphere. And the stratosphere contains ozone, and that's an important thing to have up there. It helps to protect us. And also, it contains what's called the jet stream, which is a very fast-moving stream of air. And as you might expect, that's where jets fly because they like to get into that jet stream because it helps them to fly faster. Then above the stratosphere is what's called the mesosphere. And the mesosphere gets very cold as you go further up. The molecules are further apart and it starts getting colder. And then as you continue to go up further away from the surface, you get to what is called the thermosphere, and the molecules actually start moving faster and it's a little bit warmer there. And you start getting what are called ions when you get there, which are like charged particles. And ham radio operators use this layer to bounce their signals from one side of the Earth to the other side so they can talk to people on the other side of the planet. And then finally, after you get about 300 miles from the surface all the way out into space, it's what is called the exosphere. And the exosphere actually traps charged particles that come from the sun. And this is what gives us the northern lights or the aurora borealis. And I was really excited recently that there was a large solar storm which sent a lot of these charged particles to the Earth, and the northern lights actually came far enough south that I was able to see it in Colorado. And I have a son who lives in Texas, and he was actually able to see the northern lights all the way down in Texas. So that was pretty fun.
Wow, all the way down in Texas. That's incredible. We got to see them too. It was magnificent. We had never seen them from where we live in Colorado.
Yeah, I had never seen it before either.
It's so interesting too, thinking about how each of these layers and areas in the atmosphere, they have so much purpose and they're helpful in these different ways. And it even helped me understand when I'm flying in a plane, sometimes I'll travel to go speak in an event and I don't like takeoff or landing because it's real bumpy. You have a lot of that turbulence. And so the pilot, they'll always sometimes they say, hey, we have to get up above these clouds. And so I know, okay, we're in that first layer with the weather going on. But I didn't understand until I read your book why planes fly at the level that they do, and it's to get into that jet stream so they can go really fast to where they need to go. That was fascinating to me. So, Debbie, can you tell us how did God set the stage for life by carefully designing the atmosphere just right to protect us?
There's so many things that the atmosphere does for us that it's hard to talk about all of them, but some of the really important things is first just the composition of the air. If you look at what the molecules are, it's about 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen, and then about 1% other gases. And this ratio or this balance between nitrogen and oxygen is really important because it gives us oxygen that we need. People and animals need to breathe oxygen. But if there was more oxygen and less nitrogen, then when there was like a forest fire, it would burn completely out of control because there would be too much oxygen, and it would be hard to put fires out if there was more oxygen. And so God designed it with just the perfect balance for life to exist with that ratio between nitrogen and oxygen. It's amazing. And some other things, the atmosphere protects us. It's sort of like a blanket that wraps our planet. It protects us from space. Out in space, if there was no atmosphere, then the planet would get really cold when the sun wasn't shining on it, and Earth would get really hot when the sun was shining on it. We see much higher temperature swings on the moon than we do on Earth, and that's because the moon doesn't have an atmosphere like the Earth does, and so it protects us from those big temperature swings. It also provides air pressure, which is something we don't think about because we don't really feel it. But if you ever look at an astronaut, they have to wear a spacesuit if they go out into space. And part of the function of that spacesuit is to put pressure on the astronaut's body, because our body needs air pressure in order to function. And so the atmosphere actually provides all of those things for us. Another thing, if you compare the moon to the Earth, we see lots of craters on the moon, and that's because there are a lot of things that impact or hit the moon. And a lot of the things that don't hit the moon come towards the Earth, but the atmosphere protects us because as meteors go through the atmosphere, they generally burn up. And if you've ever, you know, seen what we call a shooting star through the sky, that's generally a meteor that's burning up in the atmosphere. And that protects everything on the surface of the Earth from being hit by that giant rock that might be coming through the atmosphere. It burns up and then it keeps us safe.
Wow. Wow. So the atmosphere protects us from the planet burning up, from meteorites just hitting the surface of the Earth. I've always just been amazed about what you talked about, just the gases being dialed in so carefully that we can breathe and live, but Earth isn't burned up by fire. That's just amazing to me to see how finely detailed everything is. In Heaven and Earth, you wrote, "Changes in weather are God's way of moving water around the world to be used by plants, animals, and people." Tomorrow, our lesson, we're digging into surface water and underground water. But I'm really curious, can you share with us, how does God use weather to bring water to everything alive?
It's an amazing system that we have. Basically, if you think about it, the surface of the ocean has water that's constantly evaporating and going up into the air. And if we didn't have any weather, the water would evaporate, it would go up into the air, and then it would fall as rain right back into the ocean. And that wouldn't be helpful. And since most of the water is in the ocean, we need to get that water onto the land to water crops and to provide water for animals and for people. And so God designed the weather system in such a way that the land and the water heat up at different rates. So when the sun shines on land, it doesn't heat up at the same rate that water does. It heats up and cools down more quickly than the water does. And what that does is it causes the air molecules to move at different rates, which creates wind. And so when there's wind, then it moves that water away from the surface of the ocean over the land. And so it takes that water away from the ocean and puts it over the land. And then when it rains or snows, then that water falls on the land. And so wind and the storms that are associated with that move the water away from the oceans and the surface of lakes and things like that, and puts water onto the land where it can be used by the plants and by the people and animals.
So like this whole big recycle system of the water.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. As you have studied God's design of the atmosphere and weather, what is one thing that has just wowed or amazed you?
So many things. It was hard just to narrow it down to one. But another thing that our atmosphere does for us that I didn't really understand until I started learning more about chemistry is has to do with the actual the way that nitrogen atoms hook together with each other and the way that oxygen atoms hook together. And since those are the main atoms that are in our atmosphere, God not only designed the atmosphere to have the right amount of nitrogen and oxygen, but he designed the nitrogen molecules and the oxygen molecules to protect us from radiation that comes from the sun. And there's three types of radiation that is really harmful that comes from the sun. And the most harmful is called gamma rays. And gamma radiation that comes from the sun, when it hits our atmosphere, the nitrogen molecules have a really strong bond. And so the gamma rays hit that and it breaks apart those nitrogen bonds and uses up that energy so that it doesn't hit the surface of the earth. And a similar thing happens with X-rays that come from the sun. It hits the oxygen molecules and breaks them apart, and that uses up a lot of the energy from those X-rays. And then there's ozone in that upper atmosphere that I mentioned a few minutes ago. And that ozone absorbs the energy from ultraviolet radiation. And so the design of the molecules themselves and the amounts that are in the atmosphere protect us from all this harmful radiation that comes from the sun. And that just amazes me.
Yeah, me too. Because when you think about it, you know, there's so much in creation that we can't see, like this UV lights and gamma rays and X-rays, like we can't directly see it and it could be harmful to us. And yet God still protects us from even that. And you talked about this protective blanket, like the atmosphere is this layer of protection. And it's so neat to see how carefully it's dialed in to protect us from those things that we can't even see.
It is. It's just amazing.
Well, Debbie, before we end here, can you share one of your favorite memories or a story in nature?
Probably the most amazing thing that I've ever experienced in nature is a total solar eclipse. And back in 2017 was the first time I ever experienced it. And prior to that, I had, you know, experienced partial eclipses. Those happen relatively frequently. And I thought they were very interesting. But in 2017, my husband and I drove up to Wyoming and we were able to experience a total eclipse. And it just was so much different than I expected. It was beautiful and amazing. And just the whole feeling of the earth just is different during a total eclipse. And I just was in awe at the fact that God would create such an amazing thing, because there's not really any reason that we have to have solar eclipses, but he designed the earth to be in just the right place and the moon to be in just the right place that it completely covers the sun. And I feel like God designed that just for us to amaze us. And I enjoyed it so much that I found out in 2024 there was going to be another solar eclipse that could be viewed in Texas. And so I made a point to have all of my children and all of my grandchildren, we had a family vacation to Texas so that we could experience a solar eclipse together. And it was really fun. And I love the fact, I think my grown boys didn't appreciate how cool it was going to be. And I was sitting in a lawn chair and they're standing behind me and we're all looking up and both of the boys are just like, this is so cool. This is so cool. And that to me was amazing that I could share something so special with my whole family.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so special to be able to share. I remember the eclipse you're talking about in 2017. We had gone to Newport, Oregon to see it. And it was one of the most profound moments of my life. And I remember my son, who was 4 at the time, were watching it and the world, like everything around us turns dark at 10 a.m. or around 10 a.m. Yep. And you could see stars in the sky and all the animals like the seagulls and the sea lions, they just start going crazy. They don't know what's going on. And my 4-year-old son, he goes, wow, mom, how does God do that? It was so cool that he was making that connection.
Yes.
What a special thing. Well, Debbie, this has been such a fun conversation, and I am eager for our listeners to learn more from you through your amazing books and resources at Master Books. Listeners, you can find Debbie's books at the link in our show notes. Debbie, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it.
Wow. When God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth," He was certainly setting the stage for life. Today, Debbie helped us glimpse God's masterful designs in the atmosphere, including that lowest level where all the weather happens and water moves through the sky. Tomorrow, we will plant our feet back on the ground and learn about water on the surface of the earth and under the surface. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this special guest episode, please take a moment to send it to a friend. And make sure to click over in the show notes to order your copy of Heaven and Earth and explore all of Master Books' Christ-centered books, curriculum, and resources. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all looking.